I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn actually to Romans chapter 10. Our series actually kind of revolves around the passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. It's our series text, and we're dealing with the idea of renewing our lives, our spiritual lives, being renewed in Jesus Christ in every area of our spiritual lives. And that passage in Ephesians 4:23 says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, last week we introduced this series to you, and we did so by reminding everyone that that renewal has to start in the mind. It has to start with our thoughts. I mean, we talked about the fact that everything begins with a thought, then we think it through, and then we put those thoughts into some sort of an action. Therefore, all of us need to experience this spiritual renewal that begins in how we think. And well, as I said, last week we talked about this. So all of our thoughts, all of our spiritual life needs to be focused on, obviously, Jesus Christ. So with that having been said, if there is to be a renewal in our evangelistic zeal, if there's to be a renewal in our evangelistic efforts, if there's to be a renewal in our evangelistic outcome, it has to begin with thinking evangelistically. We have to be thinking the way God would have us to think about people. Now, in order to really get our thought process going, let's go ahead and read our text in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. By the way, bear with me this morning. I'm stuffed up pretty bad, and so I may sound that way, or I may even take a little coughing spell, which we certainly hope doesn't happen. But I got to tell you, last night, I'm just going to throw this out there just so you kind of get a grip on my night. I've had this stuffiness in my head for the last 2 or 3 weeks, just can't seem to get rid of it. But my wife is, for some reason, really got it bad, and she's here, but she's no fun to be around. But she's just a mess. So last night, we all get ready for bed. Miss Penny stayed the night with me. All right, little Miss Penny. And so we all get ready for bed, and we're thinking, you know, all she does is cough, and she's in there hacking. And I said, you know what, I'm not sleeping with you. We're going to go find us another bed. So me and Miss Penny went to the guest bedroom in a queen-size bed. Okay, queen-size ought to be plenty enough for me and Miss Penny. I got news for you. That little girl can take up some room. Man, I'm telling you, every few minutes, she's pushing me farther and farther over. And I'm like, girl, you have got to give me some space. And so by the time I wound up getting up this morning, my head all stopped up and full anyway, and I'm all the way on the edge of the bed, my legs hanging off, and she's got everything. She's over there, she's got the whole bed, she's got a mile of bed on the other side of her, and I'm thinking, what do I do? I'm not going to wake her up because then she'll want to play, watch Barney, do something. So I'm thinking, I'm just stuck. So I thought, I'm just going to crawl over on the other side of the bed. Logical thinking, right? I'll just crawl over on the other side of the bed and get my extra hour or so that I had coming, okay? So I crawled over on the other side of the bed. It was no time. She had me pushed all the way over to the edge again. So in addition to having a stuffed up head, I got very little sleep last night. So I love the little girl, but I'm glad she's going home, all right? But when we look at this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, keep in mind that in the book of Romans, we use the book of Romans a lot when we're talking about Jesus Christ, when we're sharing Christ with other people. One of the most familiar things we do is follow what we call the Roman road. And we see that in the Romans, and what we find is just prior to this passage of Scripture, keep in mind, he has already told us how to be saved. You know, he made sure this very chapter, he makes sure you understand that from the heart you believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so what we find is he's already given us all the criteria for receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But what he wants to make sure that we understand is, listen, once we understand that, once we get the idea of how it is that people come to know Jesus Christ, now we have to do it. We have to share it. We have to tell people about it. It doesn't do any good for us to sit through 30,000 evangelism classes. It doesn't do us any good to learn how to use a tract or to learn how to share with our Bible or to memorize these verses if we never, ever share them with anybody. We need to have a mentality of evangelism. We need to make sure that we're focused on being that preacher, on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a clear presentation of the gospel message has to precede them receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. There has to be that sharing with them. So people are not going to just call upon the Lord if they don't know who He is or what He's done or the necessity in doing it. This is one of my biggest arguments with many of the churches today and with much of what takes place today, is it's not enough to just tell people, hey, listen, you need to understand God loves you. Okay, well, that's good. What has He done to express that love? I need to know that. What He need to know is, listen, you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and God sent His only begotten Son to die for your sins. It's not something you could do on your own. God loves you so much that He hates what sin is doing to your life, and He hates what sin has done and what it has caused in your life, and understand and know that He has given us a remedy, and that remedy is in His Son, Jesus Christ. If we never understand, if we never recognize that we are sinners, we are not going to be saved. And the problem that we have today is too many of us want to just say, listen, God loves you and you just need to trust that. Without realizing that He loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. Otherwise, we'd spend eternity in hell. That having been said, what we need to do is renew our passion for people. People who are without Christ, people who are lost, people on that fast track to hell, and they're without Jesus Christ in their life, we need to renew our passion for them. When I think about that, it all has to begin with here, with my thinking. I need to have a thought process that says, how do I tell them about Jesus? Why do I want to tell them about Jesus? I need to love them and care for them enough that I make sure that I tell them about Jesus. Our evangelism efforts are the most important things we can do on this earth. I've said this so many times, I'm going to share it again. Jesus Christ, if it was all about us just having a right and a good fellowship with Him, He'd just take us out of here, take us home, and we'd have a perfect fellowship with Him. Amen? If it was all about just knowing His Word, His Bible, He'd just take us home and we'd have complete understanding. If it was all about just our prayer life, He'd take us home because we could have communication all the time. We could say that about everything in our relationship to God with the exception of evangelism. The one thing we cannot do in heaven that we can do here and we are obligated to do here is to tell other people about Jesus Christ that He might save them. Folks, we have that obligation. It should be a part of who we are. That should be the pattern that our life is established upon. And we need to understand and know that we have to have that mentality of telling others about Jesus Christ. We can't be afraid to say, hey, listen, sin is ruining you. Sin is hurting you. We can't compromise it. We have to make sure that people understand, listen, Jesus Christ has come to bring to you so great a salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to make sure that we're preaching and we're teaching that, so we need a renewal in our own life so that we might have the kind of passion that we ought to have. I'm going to share a story, and Steve will confirm this. I probably shouldn't share it. Let's save it for him to share sometime, but I have shared it before. But about a friend of his, when he was going to Norwood Baptist, there was a fellow there, Steve Melzer. Thank you. And he had come and he had gotten saved, okay? And he had been there, you know, and he looked good and all that kind of stuff. He gets saved and all of a sudden he disappears. People are like, where in the world did Steve go? I mean, what's the deal with this? He gets saved and he's just gone. And he was gone for I don't know what length of time, but a pretty good length of time. And people are like, I don't know what happened to Steve. That just seems odd. He was so caught up in this. Seemed like it was so genuine, so real. Everything was good about him. Where did he go? Let me tell you where he went. When he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the first thing he got was a real passion for seeing his brother come to know Jesus Christ. He went and hunted down his brother who had been long gone, and they found him. And he went and he found his brother, led him to the Lord, and brought him back to church. And so what he does, he comes back to church, comes in, he's all kind of raggedy looking, he's kind of, you know, he's dressed different, he's acting different, but it's because he's bringing his brother with him, and he doesn't want his brother to feel out of place, but he wants him to hear the gospel. And he brings his brother with him that he might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was there, actually, I guess it was there that he trusted Christ. And so what happens is this, is once he received Christ, the first thing that came over him was a passion to see people he loved and cared for come to know Christ. Folks, we need that passion renewed in our heart and in our life. I think most church members today, we may have a passion for a lot of things. We may have a passion for our family. We may have a passion for our church even. You know, it's easy to say, man, I'm really where God would have me to be. I mean, I attend church faithfully. I pray. I read my Bible. I'm a good spouse. I'm a good parent. I'm a good friend to people. I live a moral lifestyle. I have a good character, and people recognize me as having integrity. And, you know, I try to treat people with respect. But here's a fact. If we're not telling others about Jesus Christ, we're missing out on a very important part of who we are in Christ. We get satisfied with just being a good Christian. We get satisfied with just being a good church member. We get satisfied with where we are and who we are, and we need to renew that passion for lost people. You know, we see people in our world, and we see a friends and family, and we think, boy, they're doing well in life, and that's all good and dandy, and, oh, it's good to see them, and that's nice. But if we're not telling them about Jesus Christ, what kind of friend are we? How much do we really love them if we're just going to let them die and go to hell without hearing the gospel? We can't be afraid to confront people about salvation. It is just too important. So let's take a look at some of this, and let's kind of get a grip on some of it, all right? We're looking in chapter 10. We're going to be picking up verse 14. And the first thing I want you to see is this, is evangelism gives people the option to believe. If we are not evangelistic, we're not even giving people an option to believe. We're not even giving them the option to understand and to know what God has to offer them. He says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? It's a fair question. The Apostle Paul's going, listen, just out of curiosity, I've told you how people get saved. I've told you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here is the next question. How are they going to do that if nobody tells them about it? How are they going to make that decision if nobody tells them about Jesus Christ? You know, since salvation is provided for each and every individual, then it would only stand to reason that it should be shared with each and every individual. Everybody here, we're a church that believes that every single solitary individual that comes into this world has the opportunity to be saved, are we not? We believe that. We stand on that. We trust that. We do not believe that God calls some for salvation and doesn't call others to salvation. We believe every individual has an opportunity to be saved. If we truly believe that, why are we not telling everybody about Jesus? If we really believe that every person has that opportunity, why are we not telling them? Are we assuming that God's just going to make a way for everybody and that's that? We have an obligation. We are that way. We are that individual that God has called to share the gospel with other people. You know, I'm one of those guys that I really believe, you know, that God calls every person unto salvation as we present to them the gospel, as we tell them about Jesus Christ. I believe God gives them the opportunity to express that faith, to be able to receive him, to trust him, as we preach the gospel. According to this, how shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? So Jesus tells us that as a church, we have a great commission, amen? That great commission is, go ye therefore, teach all nations, not some nations, not a few nations, all nations. He also instructs his church that once the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that they should be a witness to everybody. Back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses unto me. He says, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And what we know is at Pentecost on that day, God literally baptized the church with the Holy Spirit of God. Empowered the church so that we might be able to share the gospel. Have you ever thought about the power that you have when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've been to a lot of magic shows. And I think, man, some of them guys are really good. They're illusionists, and we understand that's not real magic. They're tricking us. We get that. But I've watched a lot of them, and some of them seem so good. And I think, man, that is so phenomenal. Used to be into a lot of the superheroes and that kind of thing. And you think about all the power that they had, their strength, or, you know, they're able to have laser vision or fly or do whatever it is. I mean, man, how incredible is all that stuff? You and I possess a power that is greater than any power imaginable. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, and by simply sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God through us will convict their hearts, convict their lives, and that they have the opportunity to change, to be born again for all eternity, to become new creatures in Jesus Christ. Do you realize the power that we possess, and yet we keep it to ourselves? Do you realize how important it is that we tell others about Jesus Christ because we possess a power within us to literally change their lives for all eternity, not just for a little while? It is a supernatural power. It's a power that comes only from God, and we possess it through the person of the Holy Spirit living within us. Why would we not want to share that with a lost world? You know, it's interesting to me because I think when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we give them an option that they didn't have before we shared it with them. He gives them an option. By the way, it puts people in a predicament. When you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a person, they're forced to have to make a decision. There is no middle ground. When you share the gospel with someone, they either have to receive it or reject it. There is no in between. There is no I'll think about it. They've either rejected it or they'll receive it. And so what we have to understand is we have that opportunity to share those things and to let people know that this is the hope you have in Jesus Christ. We're told in Scripture that people won't seek out God on their own. Romans 3:11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. So we understand that if people have the opportunity to be saved, it's through us. How shall they hear without a preacher? I'm going to throw this out there, and I don't mean to offend anybody, and it's not my intent. Let me say this before I even say these things. I share tracts. I put tracts at places. I leave them at restaurants. I use tracts. We hang them on doors on Saturday. I'm a tract user. I believe in tracts. I'm that kind of guy. I think they're vital. They're important. But I'm going to tell you this. Whether or not you have a tract in your pocket or not doesn't determine whether or not you're doing God's work or not. I was confronted by a preacher at one time, and I just happened to not have a track on me at the time. And he says, "Let me see a track." I said, I don't have one. "Seriously? You're a preacher." I said, "What do you mean? Is that the criteria now? I'm not a preacher unless I got a track in my pocket? Is that the criteria? When did that criteria come about? I don't think Peter, Paul, I don't think any of those guys carried tracks. But now it's the criteria. Now, keep in mind, I'm not beating up on tracts. I believe in tracts, and I think they're awesome, and I think they're a great tool. But what I'm saying is this: if you're not very careful, you become dependent upon that rather than dependent upon memorizing God's word, committing it to your heart, committing it to your life, so that you might be able to share it face to face with somebody. And before I ever knew what a tract was, I was telling people about Jesus Christ with my Bible, with the words that I memorized, with the verses I memorized. It's not the criteria as to whether or not you are a preacher, whether or not you are a sharer of the gospel. It's a good tool. And I believe in it. But keep in mind, there was a time when you didn't have tracts to do that with. So what I'm saying is don't become so dependent upon that that's your only resource. You need to commit yourself to Scripture. Commit yourself to passion for lost individuals so that you'll share the gospel with them face to face, verbally. Because I don't know when the time came when all that came about. I don't even see where Paul, Peter, Timothy, Philip, Barnabas, I don't see any of those guys using tracts. I see them sit down with God's word and walk them through it and share the gospel with them. Folks, before there ever was a tract that I knew of, I learned to share the gospel of Jesus Christ by verses I had to memorize and by verses I had to know. By the way, along those same lines, as long as I'm beating up on such things, let's just take it just a tad bit farther. Promoting your church and your ministries, inviting others to church, and even offering a ride to them is all good things. However, they are not a substitute for sharing the gospel. They're good things. And I would encourage you to invite people to come to church with you. I would do everything I could. I would offer them a ride. I'd buy them dinner afterwards. I'd do whatever I could do to bring them to church. But it's not a substitute for telling them your only hope is in Jesus Christ. By telling them that they needed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Never think those things are a substitute. Oh, I'm doing all right because I've invited a whole bunch of people to church. Well, that's all well and good. How many are you telling about Jesus Christ and how to be saved? How to know they have a home in heaven? Folks, it is essential that we get a renewed understanding of what it means to share the gospel. Because I think we have slipped into a mode of just sharing the church. Of sharing structure, of sharing whatever's easy. Folks, we need to get back to that place where we want and where we desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who are in need of Jesus Christ. I gotta tell you, people who share the gospel are special people, and they see a lot of great things take place in their life. Nothing substitutes sharing the gospel. It's like Paul and Silas did, you know, with the Philippian jailer. When the Philippian jailer saw that the doors had been opened, he was going to kill himself. They said, no. What'd they do? They share the gospel. How about Peter with the life of Cornelius? How about Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? Sees him study and runs over there and helps him understand what the Bible says and sits down with him and he confesses Jesus Christ and baptizes him. I mean, it's the whole picture. We see it all taking place right there, like my father did with me. My father didn't sit down with me with a tract. He didn't sit down with me and just explain church. He sat down with me and said, Barry, you need to understand something. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. You need to trust Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. That's what I needed to hear. That's what I needed to know. He didn't just say, hey, Barry, I sense that you really are under conviction and you need to be saved. Here, read this tract. He didn't do that. He said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me make sure you understand what you need to do to come to know him as your Lord and Savior. And he led me to the Lord. Folks, we need a renewed passion for evangelism. We need a renewed zeal to see what God can do. You know, people can't seek something they don't even know exists. Romans 1:28 said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. How do they know to choose something they don't even know is an option? Don't even know it's a choice. Don't even know that it's out there. You know, it's kind of interesting. If you don't know what's out there, you don't know what you're missing. We're quick to share foods we like, new desserts we like. We're quick to talk about something, a song or a movie or a TV show or something. You might be quick to talk about those things you like. Man, you ought to check this out. You'll like this. Why are we not so quick to say, hey, you need to know Jesus. I'm telling you, it's something you need in your life. I'm telling you, it's your only hope for eternity. It's something you need to hear. It's something you need to see. It's something you need to know. We need to understand that people are not going to look for God on their own. We need to provide that. We are the source that says, here, this is Jesus Christ. The bride says, come. Have you ever heard a lost person's take on Bible stories? Just to give an idea on how off the wall it is. I'm sure you guys have watched some of the movies that they've tried to make, you know, about Bible stories. The funniest one to me is someone convinced me, I wasn't even going to watch it because I knew better, but someone talked me into it and said, if you want some good comic relief, watch Noah. I said, seriously? They said, just watch it. Just watch it. I said, okay. They got rock monsters building the ark. What's a rock monster? Where did rock monsters come in the Bible? But they got rock monsters building the ark for Noah. Lost people can't even imagine. And you know what? I'm satisfied. Somewhere they justify that. Somehow their take on that is acceptable. It's just fine and dandy. It amazes me at the take that they have on the stories of the Bible or on the things that God has done. And even their take on salvation. We talk about Jesus. They'll talk about Jesus, but they're not talking about the same Jesus you and I are talking about. They're not talking about salvation like we know salvation to be. They're not understanding God to be the God that we know him to be. How can you proclaim a God and then say that everything came about through evolution? You can't do it. Either God created it or God's not God. So we look at this picture and we begin to examine it and we understand that people can't possibly understand and know who God is if God's people doesn't share it with them. It's our obligation. He says they'll never hear, they'll never know, they'll never seek on their own. It's our obligation to seek them out and to share with them. People in serious need for the truth. There are a lot of folks out there preaching a lie. Jude 1:4 says this, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We become the revealers of truth. We understand and we know the truth, and we have to share that truth. It's our obligation. We're revealing the message of the Old Testament that was hidden in the Old Testament, the mysteries of the Old Testament. We are the revealers of these mysteries to a lost and a dying world. I want you to notice what Paul tells Timothy regarding sharing the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. And as you look at this, understand and know that what he's doing is he's sharing them. He's letting young Timothy, who is a young pastor, know the importance of sharing the gospel and some things that he has to know in regard to this. He says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." See, listen, we cannot be afraid to tell people about the Jesus who has died for us. We cannot be ashamed of the God who loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. We have to be people who step out without fear, but step with strength and power and with a sound mind to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who are bound for hell. I hate to think that I have family or friends, even acquaintances, that are going to hell. I hate it. I hate the very thought of it. But sometimes we're reluctant to do that because they're really nice people and we don't want to mess up our friendship. They're really good folks and we don't want them to get offended with us. But the fact is, I want to rejoice with them around the throne of God. I don't want to know what's going to take place with them and never warn them about it. You know the old analogy. How awful would it be if we're driving down the road and we know that the bridge is out and everybody that continues on the road is going to just tumble off into a lake or a crevice or whatever it might be? Would we not get out there and do everything we can to stop every car? Don't go. No. Don't do it. The road's out. We would do everything we could. Why are we not doing that with people that are bound for hell? Are we afraid? God's provided all the means of salvation, but he has entrusted it to us to share it with the world. We need to renew our evangelistic thinking. We need to have such a passion for people that we're begging for opportunities to tell them about Jesus. Second thing I want you to see is this. Evangelism allows us to share the joy of our salvation. He says in verse 15, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I want to be able to share things that are very positive. You know, evangelism is an opportunity to share our joy in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't tell me you don't like to share things that are joy to you. You know, I've had people say, "Well, I just don't like to talk about that stuff." Well, the very same people like that will go on social media and talk about the birth of a child because it's good news and people like to hear it. And we know people to be excited to hear such things. We'll talk about an engagement or a wedding because it's good news and people like to hear about that stuff. And overcoming some health issue. "Hey, guess what? Got a good report from the doctor. I'm better. I'm doing well." We're excited about those things. Why do we not have that kind of a zeal and that kind of an excitement about what God can do? You know what I'd like to see more of? I'd like to see more of this. I'd like to see more of somebody say, hey, I just want everybody on my Facebook page to know I have just received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to see more of that. I would like to see more of, hey, listen, I have just entered into a relationship with Jesus. You know, it's funny. I've got people on my Facebook that I like to check occasionally to see what relationship, when they're in a relationship and when they're not. Because every week it's different. In a relationship, not in a relationship. In a relationship, not in a relationship. It's kind of fun. I would love to say, I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would love somebody to get on there and say, hey, listen, I want you to know God has just healed me of my sin problem. He has just given me salvation. I have eternal life. I'm no longer bound by those sins. When I was a kid, the church I grew up in, when I was younger, it was different than what it had become. I remember as a kid, there was a lot of shouting and getting excited, and it was always at that time where people got saved. People come forward and get saved, man, it wasn't nothing to hear people shout, cry out, praise God. They received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It was an exciting moment. Seems like today sometimes when that happens, we're like, oh, man, we're not going to get out at noon. This is going to run us till about 10 after. Man, those Pentecostals are going to get up there and get to the restaurant before us. We ain't going to have anywhere to sit. Couldn't they have waited? Couldn't they have done that another time? Do we have to make such a big deal out of that? I got to tell you, we need to come back to a place where our passion is to see people come to know Christ. Where it's something that's important to us. Where it's what we want to see. It's what we desire. I want you to notice God's view of those who share the gospel. He says, how beautiful are the feet of them. Now, I'm just going to throw, I got a bunch I could throw out here, but I'm not going to just for time's sake. But there's a crown awarded unto those who share the gospel. Paul tells us about that in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And listen to what he tells the church of Thessalonica. Are not even ye, aren't you guys, every one of you, that he has led to the Lord in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He's saying, let me tell you what my crown is. He's saying, my crown are those of you I've had the opportunity to lead to Jesus Christ. He says, you guys are my crown. You know, I like to think about it like this. And this is a little bit of speculation on my part, but bear with me. If you're someone who has a passion to see people come to know Jesus Christ and you lead people to Jesus Christ, there is a crown of rejoicing for you. I like to think about there's a jewel in that crown for every person that comes to know Jesus Christ through your ministry, through your work. I like to think about it in those terms. I'm not telling you that's exactly the way it is. I'm just saying I like to think about it in those terms so that we have something we can lay back at the feet of Jesus Christ. Say, as much as you loved me, I could never compare to that. But I loved you enough that I shared you with these people. So he says, Paul, he says, when I stand before Jesus, my crown of rejoicing is to be able to look over there at the church of Thessalonica and say, I had a big part bringing them to know Christ. How incredible is that? I love Psalm 126:6. I'm not going to take time to comment on it, but I do want to read it. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. The last point I want to make is this. I think evangelism ties God's word and faith together, illustrating just how important both of them are. God's word and faith. We preach God's word so that they might be able to express their faith. You tie both of them together. There is no faith without God's word. He says you have to share the word. They have to then receive it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing. So God's word has to be presented. The faith has to be expressed. Both of these come together and are tied together only when you have both of them present. you know, expression of God's faith and or of our faith rather in Jesus Christ is based upon hearing and believing and trusting God's word. If we fail to share that word, there's not going to be any faith. It's God's word that reveals Jesus Christ and his deity. How else would you know who Jesus Christ is? How else would you know that he is God? How else would you know that he is your only hope of salvation? You know, we need to understand that we would never know that God came to earth as a man, and that he died a sacrificial death, that he became an individual that took upon himself all of our sins, that we might be washed and cleansed and have eternal life. We would never know that. We wouldn't know anything about the fact that we were on a course to hell. We wouldn't know anything about his resurrection, our hope of salvation, heaven, eternity. None of those things. It's not by human reasoning that we find all of those things out. We find those things out because of God's word. So how can there ever be an expression of faith if there's not a presentation of his word? What we have to find is our faith is that, yes, I believe God's word to be absolutely true, and my only hope is in Jesus Christ. For that reason, we are to meditate, memorize, study, read, preach this wonderful gospel, because people need to hear it if they're going to be saved. You know, I'm deeply thankful that there were people that were faithful enough to evangelize my family, me. You know, I can go back and look at the history in our family, and I can see, you know, my dad, I don't know where he would have been except that he met my mother. And because of my mother's testimony, because of my mother keeping him in church, if you're going to marry me, you're going to attend church. Just kind of that blunt. And he received Jesus Christ. Ultimately led his brothers and sisters to the Lord, and families become a family that loves the Lord. Not without fault, but a family that loves the Lord. Amen. And as a result of that, he has sons that have grown up, preach the gospel. As a result of that, we've had sons and daughters and that are involved in ministry, involved in the work, and doing the things God would have them to do. Start somewhere. Read my little From the Pastor today. It's kind of a cool thing. When you're able to look and see how God does something miraculous in a life and how that has a bearing on other lives down the road. Lives that had not even been born yet. Understand and know this. We need to have a different thought process about evangelism. We need to have a passion for people. We need to have a zeal for God's ministry. We should have a zeal for telling people about Jesus Christ. We should want and desire to see others come to know him. Where are you today? What is it today that you're thinking about when it comes to telling other people about Jesus Christ? Bow your heads with me if you would. I would imagine that there are a lot of folks who are probably thinking, man, that's just, Pastor, you don't seem to understand. That's so far out of my comfort zone that maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone. But you don't understand. That's so tough. That's so difficult. Okay. You've done a lot of other things in life that's tough, a lot of other things that are difficult. None so important as this. Tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he was tormented by the flames. And when you read in Luke 16, we can't help but to see how awful hell really is. Yet he says, listen, I know I can't go back, but he says, listen, I've got family there. I've got some brothers that need to hear. Can you send somebody back to tell them? Folks, there's a passion when it's too late. But understand and know, we have an opportunity right now to tell people about Jesus. And it's not too late. Let's tell them. Let's tell them. One last thought. I had a friend. Knew he was... He had gotten bad reports. He knew he didn't have long to live. And he said, I've not been faithful to tell my family, my children, about Jesus. Could you do me a favor? They're planning a big birthday party here for me. I want you to come to my birthday party, and we're going to take some time out, and I want you to share Jesus with them. Will you do that? I went to his birthday party and shared Jesus with his family. A few weeks after that, he passed away. He wanted to make sure that his family heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, is that our passion? Is that our zeal? But Father, I pray that you work and move in our lives in such a way that we want nothing more than to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, give us a passion for people, a heart to tell them. Lord God, I pray that you'll do something incredible in each of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.